You have recently spent some time in Mexico doing workshops down there. What was the nature of those?
Well, they were workshops for people who owned gas stations or operated gas stations, and then the companies that supply equipment and do service on the pumps and tanks in those stations. And it was basically to get them familiar with ethanol and what ethanol can do for their business, and the equipment you need and the equipment you don't really need to sell ethanol, because they've dealt with some of the same myth and legend that we've battled here, that it's a real costly thing to add. And basically the equipment they have right now is ready for ethanol as far as on the station level. But there's a lot of questions about what it is, how can we get it here, and we're just trying to familiarize them with how we got ethanol to most of the places in the United States, because a similar thing is probably going to have to happen if ethanol is going to be a big part of the Mexican fuel market.
What's your feel on how close you are to breaking into that market down there and getting them to use more ethanol?
Well, I mean, right now ethanol prices are they're artificially low because of different things that have happened politically primarily, but, you know, that the ethanol price is so cheap right now that it's very attractive, and the only upside of that is that at times you can get, a lot better, it's a lot easier to make the point of what a good value it is for a station owner or for a distributor. And so I would have probably told you early this year, you know, we're just getting them familiar with it. But the last meeting I went to in Mexico City a couple of weeks ago, we talked to some people who wanted to bring it in a lot sooner than folks were talking about 6 months ago. So I'm not sure. I mean, there's some ethanol pre-blended in gas that's going over the border right now into towns that are right over the border. But as far as the rest of the country goes, it may be several years, but if this price advantage exists for a while, then it might come a lot faster.
What's holding it back? What would stop that?
Well, that was the other thing that I think was interesting, was one of the people with this, the organization, one of the two groups that put this on, it's the U.S. Grains Council does it with the Mexican Service Station Suppliers organization. It's called AMPES, A-M-P-E-S. Their president said, you know, in his opinion, the only thing that's holding it back is the personal goals of individual politicians. So, you know, sometimes things, the more things are different, the more they're the same. I mean, that's kind of what you run into in the U.S. sometimes. But he thinks there's just people dragging their feet. He's got, as a service station guy, he's got people asking him right now if they could put something together to splash blend ethanol. So he's got interest, and that's who they call first. I mean, if you own a gas station, the first person you call when you do something like this is the people who work on your pumps and tanks, and you say, hey, is there anything I can do? And he's got a lot of interest. I think that's probably what's holding some of them back, is just that they don't know what they can do regulation-wise, how it can be distributed. Infrastructure is a big challenge, and that's what we'll probably have to deal with in order to get large volumes of it. But certainly the desire is there. I mean, their intention was to answer questions and build interest, and from all indications, that goal was accomplished through these workshops.
If there is a breakthrough in that market, what would that do for U.S. corn growers?
Well, I mean, the total potential, if we get 10% of the whole market, and that's all they're talking about there is E10, but I mean, going from E0 to E10 is a big deal. It's a 12 billion gallon gas market, so you're talking about 1.2 billion if we got every drop of it. So you're probably talking about, you know, a percentage of that, maybe, you know, 300 million, 500 million, but the total market opportunity is 1.2 billion. Which is, you know, that's not quite 10% of what we do in the United States. You know, we're on target to export 1.6 billion. So it's, you know, it's darn near doubling what we export now if we got the whole thing. But, you know, the biggest advantage is it's fuel that you don't have to ship anywhere. It's basically sent by rail. We do have rail routes that are safe given some of the you know, political issues and criminal issues that you run into in some parts of Mexico, but that those routes do exist. Going from Houston to some port in the east side of Mexico is not something that's impossible, but you know, those things will take, they'll take some time, because what you've got to do then is when they get to a site, you have to have a destination facility that you can unload the fuel into and then distribute it, like we did back in the 80s by splash blending it on top of the gasoline. So, you know, but I mean, you can build one of those facilities in a couple of months. So, I mean, for a rail car size one, if you're talking about, you know, unit trains, those take a little bit more time. But again, the economics usually are what make those things go. We had the same situation in the southeast U.S. Nobody was using E10, and then the math got so attractive that over a year's period of time, pretty much the whole region filled in. So things can happen quickly, and like I said, I think the last meeting we had makes me a little more hopeful that maybe they will.
Would you anticipate that a lot of either the feedstock or the ethanol would come from the U.S.?
Oh, I think right now most of it would. I think it would mostly be ethanol already blended. There are a few projects going on in Mexico right now that are talking about using, I think they're talking about using sugarcane or maybe even dehydrating sugarcane ethanol from Brazil. So there's a few projects there, but I think to start out with, until you got to a point where there was solid, consistent demand for ethanol down there, I think it all come, basically U.S. ethanol that would be delivered there. Maybe after some time when they've used it and the demand is well known and permanent, then I think what you'll see is some of the, you know, the agricultural interests down there that will, you know, want to get involved in ethanol, and that's fine. I mean, we, you know, the more we sell anywhere, the better it is for a lot of different reasons. But I think, the right now the economics are too good for just having, you know, ethanol delivered into the country. But over time, I think if there's a consistent demand, you'd see some ethanol plants popping up in Mexico too.
Ethanol seems to have been working in the United States. Can it work just as well in Mexico? Do you see a scenario where it'll work just as well down there?
Boy, I tell you, you know, I've been all over that country, beautiful parts of that country. I was in Mexico City 2 weeks ago, and when you look out during the day, you know, you see this sort of a haze over the whole country, the whole city of Mexico City. And, you know, it's sort of reminiscent if you were ever in a tall building in Los Angeles or even in Minneapolis, back in the 70s, and you'd see that layer of smog there. They sure need it. They've got low RVP gas in that country, but I think they need, you know, the oxygenate that is in their gas now is MTBE. But I would think for most of the country, you know, the price is going to be attractive, but it sure wouldn't help them to have, or sure wouldn't hurt them to have, some kind of cleaner fuel to burn there, because there is some air pollution issues in those larger cities, Mexico City, Guadalajara, I want to say the other one's Monterrey. Those have some real pollution issues that ethanol has cleared up by and large in places like California and, you know, RVP markets like Chicago. So I would think that it would do the same for Mexico, and in fact they did some testing, I know, in Guadalajara that turned out very well, that I think they're looking at and seeing if maybe that could be an E10 market, because right now those three biggest cities are excluded from using E10. So I think we're going to get that taken care of, and then, you know, that's the population center, that's where the economics work, and that's probably where you'll see the distribution pop up first. It's kind of tough to know whether it's going to be something that happens. You know, it could take 3 years, could take 5 years, it could end up being next year. But it's interesting because it's changed so much from the first place I went was in August of last year, and the attitude, of this Mexico City meeting compared to that is like night and day. So I know there's interest in the wholesale marketing, you know, where you'd have like a a jobber who supplies many stations, that maybe they buy their own supply. And if something like that happens, then I could see it taking off a lot faster. So we'll probably be working on those guys next year. Yeah, we're going to do stuff. We're going to be reaching out to them next year, too. But it'll mostly be, I think, on the wholesale level next time. And hopefully we'll get something put together and get some real product moving down there.